Welcome, curious learners. Today, we're going to peel back the layers on something that, let's be honest, can look a bit intimidating. A city's financial report.
Yeah, stacks of paper, lots of numbers.
Exactly. But trust us, it's not just dry figures. Think of it more like the heartbeat of a community. It shows you what they care about, the challenges they're facing, and, well, where they're trying to go.
It really tells a story.
It does. So we're doing a deep dive today into the city of Stillwater, Oklahoma's 2021 Annual Comprehensive Financial Report. You'll hear it called the ACFR.
Mm-hmm. ACFR, standard term.
And this thing is just, it's a goldmine of detail on how a city actually manages its money. Our mission for you listening is to pull out the really important nuggets, the key insights, give you a shortcut, sort of, to understanding a city's financial health.
And maybe find a few surprises along the way.
Definitely some surprises here. We're here to help you understand what really matters in these reports. Okay, let's unpack this.
Let's do it.
So we'll start with the basics, the framework of city finances. It's a bit different, this accounting.
Government accounting, yeah. It has its own rules.
Then we'll follow the money. Where does it come from for Stillwater? Where does it actually go?
The inflows and outflows. Classic.
We'll look at their overall financial standing, their net worth, you could say, what they own, what assets they value.
Buildings, infrastructure, all that stuff.
And critically, we have to talk about obligations, debts, sure, but also employee benefits.
Yeah.
And there's a really unique pension story in here you won't want to miss.
Oh, yeah, that one's interesting. Very unusual.
And finally, we'll touch on the bigger picture. Stillwater's economy, how they plan ahead, how they handle, you know, the unexpected.
Right. What's fascinating here is how these seemingly technical documents, they really paint a vivid picture. It's about past performance, yes, but also future goals. It's much more than just the numbers on the page.
I completely agree. So let's start there with that framework. Government accounting. When you look at these reports, you see things split up, right?
Right.
Governmental activities and business type activities. Mm-hmm. What's the key difference? Why does that matter?
That's a great starting point. So governmental activities. Think of those as the core services funded mostly by taxes. You know, police, fire, administration, fixing roads, parks.
The stuff everyone expects a city to do.
Exactly. Then business type activities operate more like, well, businesses. They charge fees for services. Mm-hmm. For Stillwater, that's things like electric, water, trash collection, the airport.
Right. Things you typically get a bill for.
Precisely. And they even have one for business area development. This distinction matters because it affects how they raise money, how they manage those services, maybe different priorities.
Gotcha. And to keep track of all this, they use different funds, like separate bank accounts almost.
Kind of, yeah. Stillwater has a general fund that's like the main operating account for those governmental things.
Day-to-day stuff.
Right. Then enterprise funds for those business type things, the Stillwater Utilities Authority, the airport fund. They even have things like a permanent fund, the Mabel King Trust, where they can only spend the earnings maybe on library books or something specific.
Wow. Okay. So very specific buckets for the money.
Very specific. And a quick accounting detail, but it's important. Accrual versus modified accrual.
Yes. The accounting nuances. Break that down for us non-accountants.
Okay, so most businesses use accrual. You count income when you earn it, even if the cash isn't there yet. Same with expenses.
Right.
Cities, for their main governmental funds, often use modified accrual. It's more focused on near-term available cash. What money do we actually have now or expect very soon that we can spend?
So it's more about immediate spending power for those core services.
Exactly. It gives a different view than the full accrual used for the government-wide statements or the business-type activities, which look more long-term. Both views are important, just different.
Okay, that makes sense. Framework down. Now let's follow the money. What did Stillwater's overall revenue look like in 2021? Big picture first.
Well, it jumped quite a bit. Total revenues went from around $131.4 million in 2020 up to $154.3 million in 2021.
Wow, that's a pretty healthy increase. What drove that?
A big part was a rebound in economic activity, seems like. Especially sales and use taxes. Those alone went from about $31 million to over $33.1 million.
Okay, so people were spending more.
Looks like it. And that trend continued into early 2022, actually. Those collections are up like 14.3% compared to the year before. So yeah, strong consumer confidence, businesses doing well post-pandemic.
And that sales tax, it's interesting how they slice it up, isn't it?
It is. It's strategic.
They have a 3.5 cent tax. 2 cents go to the general fund, right? For those core operations we talked about.
Correct. Keeping the lights on, basically.
Then 1 cent goes straight to the Stillwater Utilities Authority, the SUA,
mm-hmm.
often tied to paying off bonds for big projects, I imagine.
Usually, yes. Water, electric infrastructure, things like that.
And the last half cent goes to a special transportation improvement fund for projects voters approved. And that's set to run for a while.
Yeah, that one continues through September 2026. So that shows a longer-term commitment to roads and transport.
Beyond taxes, those charges for services, the utility bills and such, they brought in a huge chunk too, right?
Oh, yeah. Over $100 million in 2021. That shows you the scale of those business-type activities. They generate a lot of revenue.
Okay, so lots of money coming in. Where's it primarily going? What are the big expense areas?
Well, for the governmental side, the biggest slice was public safety, police, and fire. That hit almost $27.9 million in 2021, up from $25.2 million the year before.
A significant investment there.
Definitely. Shows a priority on safety and security. Streets and sewers were also pretty hefty, around $10.8 million. Maintaining that infrastructure is expensive.
No kidding. So revenue's up. Expenses seem controlled. That points towards a strong financial position overall.
It does, and that's reflected in what they call their net position. It's basically the city's net worth, assets minus liabilities.
And how did that look in 2021?
It looked good. It increased by over $20.5 million in just that one year.
$20 million, wow.
Yeah, bringing the total net position to nearly $360 million. And what's really telling is where that increase came from.
Right.
Over $20.1 million of that growth was from the business type activities. The governmental activities only increased by about $470,000.
So those utilities and fee-based services are really driving the financial strength.
Absolutely. It suggests they're not just paying their own way, they're actually boosting the city's overall bottom line. Adds to long-term stability.
Makes sense. And a lot of that net position, that $360 million, it's tied up in physical things, right?
Yeah.
Capital assets.
Exactly. Land, buildings, equipment, roads, pipes, utility lines, all the physical stuff the city owns and uses to provide services.
How much are we talking there?
Well, in 2021, they had over $54.7 million in assets that don't depreciate, like land, and then over $270.7 million in assets that do depreciate after accounting for the depreciation already taken.
That's a huge amount. It's easy to see it as just a number, but like you said, that's the police station, the roads, the water treatment plant.
It's the tangible foundation of the city, and they account for it carefully.
Mm.
Most things are depreciated over their useful life using the straight line method, which is pretty standard.
Okay.
But some things, like water storage space they bought way back in 1981, they consider it to have an indefinite life. So no depreciation on that shows the real long-term nature of some city investments.
Right. The water storage isn't exactly going to wear out like a truck.
Precisely.
Okay. So net position growing strongly.
Yeah.
That's the good news. But every city has obligations, right? Debts, future commitments. What does the report show there?
Yeah, you have to look at the liabilities side, too. Stillwater has long-term liabilities, including various notes and bonds, probably used to finance some of those big capital projects.
Standard stuff.
Pretty standard. But then you get into employee benefits, pensions, and other post-employment benefits, or OPEB, usually healthcare for retirees.
Okay, how do they handle those?
For their regular non-uniformed employees, they have a defined contribution plan. Like a 401k. The city contributes a set amount, pretty straightforward.
Right. Less long-term risk for the city there.
Generally, yes. But then there's this other plan, an old defined benefit plan. And this is where that unique story comes in.
Ah, okay. The pension story you mentioned.
Yeah.
Set this up for us.
Right. So the city had this legacy defined benefit retiree plan. Keyword, legacy. They actually replaced it for new employees way, way back in 1985.
Okay, so it's been closed for decades.
For decades. And for the last 10 years or so, the city hadn't needed to put any money into it. Why? Because it was massively overfunded. It had way more assets than it needed to cover the benefits for the few remaining people in it.
You don't hear overfunded pension very often these days.
You really don't. So in fiscal year 2021, the city paid out the final obligation to the very last person covered by this old plan. The plan was then officially terminated.
Okay, end of an era.
But here's the kicker. Because it was so overfunded, after that last obligation was met, there was still money left. A lot of money.
How much?
$12.5 million.
Really?
$12.5 million. And that money was transferred back to the city's general fund.
Wow. So they essentially got a massive refund from an old pension plan.
Exactly. It's reported as a special item in the general fund. It's like finding a huge pile of cash you forgot you had stashed away.
Yeah.
Definitely not your typical government finance story.
That is genuinely fascinating. A multi-million dollar surplus from a closed pension plan. Okay, beyond that unicorn, what about other pensions and benefits? Police and fire, retiree healthcare.
Right. For police and firefighters, they participate in statewide cost-sharing plans funded by contributions from employees, the city, some state funds, insurance taxes, a mix.
More standard setup there.
Yes. And then OPEB, the retiree healthcare. That's mainly a self-funded plan. The city basically pays for those healthcare benefits as they come up. Pay as you go.
Got it. Okay, shifting gears a bit, let's talk economic health, future planning. How does Stillwater approach budgeting? You mentioned something earlier.
Yeah, they emphasize being conservative. They estimate revenues carefully, looking at history and current trends. And crucially, they use zero-based budgeting for spending.
Remind us what that means again?
It means departments don't just get, say, last year's budget plus 2%. They have to build their budget request from zero each year, justify every single planned expense.
So no automatic increases. You have to make the case for everything.
Exactly. It forces a really critical look at spending, promotes efficiency. It's a rigorous approach.
And like any city, they exist in a real economy. Who are the big players there, and how do they handle unexpected hits?
Well, the report mentions the principal employers. No surprise, Oklahoma State University is huge. Stillwater Medical Center is another major one. They form a big part of the city's economic base.
Right, university towns often have that anchor.
Definitely. And they do face unexpected challenges, like that massive winter storm in February 2021. That cost their power provider a ton, and Stillwater's share was over $7.1 million.
Ouch, that's a big hit.
It is. But they didn't just eat the cost. They approved a plan to recover about half of it, 50%, from customers over a 36-month period starting late 2021.
Okay, so spreading the impact out, trying to maintain fiscal stability.
Yeah, it shows proactive management in the face of a pretty significant unforeseen event.
And tucked away in these reports, there's often operational data too, right? Not just dollars and cents, but stats about city services.
Yes, and that can provide some really interesting context. For example, the utility billing department handles over 25,000 accounts every month. Just think about the scale of that operation.
Yeah, that's a lot of bills.
Right, and that directly connects to the revenue we talked about earlier. We also see things like municipal court cases drop significantly in 2021 compared to 2020, from over 7,700 down to about 3,500.
Any idea why? Maybe pandemic-related court closures easing up or fewer citations.
Could be various reasons, but that kind of change can impact fine revenue, staffing needs, things like that. Another example, community center admissions plummeted.
Plummeted.
Yeah, from over 81,000 down to under 24,000. The report specifically says this was due to facilities reopening after COVID closures, which seems counterintuitive, maybe related to tracking or specific program changes, but it affects operational costs, maybe revenue for certain programs.
Interesting. One more.
Landfill usage actually went up slightly from about 21,000 tons to 22,000 tons. Not dramatic, but it points to ongoing operational costs and maybe future needs for landfill capacity.
It really shows how everything's connected, the services, the usage, the finances. What an illuminating journey through Stillwater's financial world. Let's quickly recap the big takeaways, the aha moments for you, our listener.
Okay, first off, Stillwater's financial position looks, well, pretty robust. That net position grew significantly, nearly $360 million total, mostly thanks to those business-type activities and strong sales tax. Signals a healthy local economy.
Right. And second, flowing from that is how they use their money strategically. That sales tax isn't just dumped into one pot. Specific amounts go to general operations, utilities, and that voter-approved transportation fund running through 2026. Shows planning.
Third, definitely that pension story. You just don't see that often. A closed, overfunded plan leading to a $12.5 million payback to the city. A real financial anomaly and a positive one for them.
A very positive one. Fourth, their approach to budgeting. Conservative estimates, zero-based budgeting. It suggests a real commitment to fiscal discipline and thinking carefully about spending. Plus, how they handled that winter storm cost recovery shows resilience.
Fifth, remember that the numbers reflect real services you experience. Higher public safety spending means investment in police and fire. The scale of utility billing shows the complexity behind keeping your lights on and water running.
Connects the dollars to daily life. And finally, that interplay between the city government and the local economy is key. Big employers like OSU matter. And those operational stats, court cases, community center, they offer little windows into community life and how it links back to the city's finances.
Yeah, if you connect all these dots, it really shows how a city's financial report is like a living document. It reflects their commitments, their resilience, how they're adapting to economic shifts, and what the community needs.
So what does this all mean for you? Hopefully this deep dive gives you a new way to look at your own community's finances. We really encourage you. Find your local ACFR. It might seem dense at first, but you could uncover some equally fascinating stories hidden in those pages.
Absolutely. And maybe this raises a question for you to think about. Beyond just understanding the numbers, how could using these detailed reports help you engage more effectively with your local government? How could it empower you to advocate for the services and priorities that really matter in your daily life?